B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Fourth and three. Meanwhile, they better get the snap here because the play clock is at one. They do. Off they go. Catches made. Get the first and a lot more. Julio Jones out in front. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown. 54 yards on a fourth and three.
No block in the back there. No block in the back. Come on, man. But first off, let's really get to this, cut to the core here. Did Carson Wentz look like a Cheeto? 610-632-0. That's what we need to know. Coming out of that 5 o'clock hour for 95. What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas. A wonky microphone. Bob Cooney, Sam Wilson, Jamie Lynch. This is ridiculous. There we go. Here's what I want to know out of the gate. If anyone is slightly encouraged by last night... Like, is anyone slightly encouraged? Because, look, we're never going to use injuries as an excuse by any means, but they did have a lot of injuries last night by some pretty good players. But just any encouragement from last night. After that, what the hell was going on with the offensive line, Trey? Did they just forget about it? Did they not make it to the game? Did Isaac Seumalo not make it to the game? What the hell was that last night? That was in recent memory. I was trying to think back. Worst half of football I've watched the Eagles play. Mm-hmm. But injuries or no injuries, whatever. Worst half of football I've watched the Eagles play. No time for anything.
Okay, well, are you ready? I think that going into this, we said that this defensive front was going to be a challenge.
Mm.
You know, you knew that this front was going to be a challenge. We weren't able to run the ball. And we got Ginger Jesus crucified.
I'm pretty sure he died.
Crucified.
You know, I mean, we nailed him to the cross.
Oof. Yeah. There was nobody helping him. Like, there was nobody
the
like, hey,
fourth quarter, he arose.
Let's stick with the Bible analogy. They were all Peters. They sold him out. They just sold him out. They let him get hit more than three times,
unfortunately. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, not good.
Here's the thing. Early on, they were doing exactly what we thought they would do. Everything was short. Everything was within 10 yards, right? Everything was close to the line of scrimmage because the Falcons like to play very deep. And we had talked about that with Ron Jaworski on Thursday. Bob, I know you and I had talked about that as well. But before the game even started, one of the guys that was going to help you out the most, Dallas Goedert, got injured during warm-ups. All right.
Yeah.
They go into the game. Next thing you know, Alshon Jeffrey's hurt. DeSean Jackson's hurt. Carson Wentz takes another shot to the ribs. You see him and Nate Sudfeld laughing about it on the sideline for a second. You're like, all right, maybe they're okay. But it seemed like throughout that first quarter, it was a rotation of fill in the blank. Blank goes into the Eagles' medical tent. Blank comes out of the Eagles' medical tent and is headed for the locker room. Like, everybody that was supposed to have a significant impact on this game, from Dallas Goedert to Alshon Jeffrey to DeSean Jackson to Carson Wentz, at least spent a little bit of time away from the game. And then all of a sudden, you're relying on your wide receivers, young wide receivers like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to help you out. Matt Collins, who's not young anymore because it's his third year as a pro, but still, at the same time, inexperienced. These are basically guys that were becoming your number one targets for Carson Wentz. And Zach Ertz, old reliable, does something that we have unfortunately been able to bet on time and time again. One, sure, people want to talk about him not being able to break tackles. That's the MO. Fine. But how does somebody that experienced, Trey, how does somebody that good know, how does he not know to run a little bit more past those sticks before he turns around for the reception? Because, and I watched it many times, there was a pocket there for Zach Ertz to catch the ball well beyond that first down marker.
Mm-hmm.
How does he not get past that line?
Just working what he's been doing in practice. Just saying, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do. These are the steps I'm supposed to take. But not, you know, not having that... All right, game mode mindset. All he was doing was what he does every day in practice, but not saying, you know what? I need to get across the line. Here's the first down marker. I need to get past this mark. Instead, he did what he normally would do in that particular pass play. He took the same amount of steps that he would take if it were just whatever the downage was, But this time, you have to have some type of mindset to say, you know what, I need to get past the marker so that I can create a first down.
Well, I just don't understand somebody that is that good at what he does that becomes an issue time and time again. It's on repeat with him. Mm-hmm. And look, after the game, he, obviously Nelson Agholor, were very upset with themselves. They both felt like they really let the team down. Zach Ertz flat out just said that after the game. Nelson Agholor said the ball that he dropped at about 1:40 left in the game, he lost in the lights.
No.
And now, you and I are going to disagree on this, actually.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine.
But I will say this. Last night, no matter which way you slice it, no matter what excuse you want to try to give this team, if any, was just a disaster. Mm. Injury standpoint was a disaster.
Yeah.
Game plan, disaster. Huge turnovers, costly turnovers in the game, a disaster. Game plan got screwed from the early goings, as we mentioned a second ago, because Dallas Goedert wasn't a part of it anymore after warm-up, so that sucked. But Goddard, Jeffrey, Clement, Jernigan, Jackson, Wentz for a time, all these guys at least missing a little bit of time throughout this game. Some, we hope, they're not going to be missing any more time in the not-too-distant future. And then the drop from Agholor, the fumble from Corey Clement, just awful quarterback play from Carson Wentz in the first half. And I'm not, forget, if he was on that football field, forget about any shots he took to the ribs. If he was on that football team, he was healthy enough to play. And that was abysmal. That was the worst we've seen Carson Wentz play since his rookie year. Mm-hmm. That was the worst we've seen him play. And that was without Lane Johnson, by the way. That 10-game stretch without Lane Johnson his rookie year, where he started to default back to looking like a rookie, that's the worst we've seen Carson Wentz play since that rookie season. The worst. And you can blame an offensive line. You can blame not having the number one targets, whatever it might be. But that second interception by, well, who was it, Marcus Trufant? Or Trufant had that one right there. The second interception was, I don't know who he was going to. There was nobody in the vicinity. The ball wasn't tipped. Was he under duress? Absolutely. Was he under pressure? Absolutely. But that was horrible. You know what his passer rating was, Bob, in the first half?
I believe it was below 10.
6.
Yeah.
He was at 6 for a passer rating.
Yeah.
But that's not the Carson we know and love.
No, it looked nothing like him. And you're scratching your head. You're thinking it has to be an injury. He took the shot to the ribs. Is it that? And then you start to look. He's throwing the ball. Mark, you had a great point. He's throwing the ball. Nobody's there. Well, was somebody supposed to be there? But they're not, because it's not DeSean Jackson. It's not Alshon Jeffrey. You're throwing to Mack Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Like, you're throwing the guys that he probably hasn't practiced with since this season started. And so then you start to wonder if it was that.
The first interception of the game, he just underthrew Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah.
And Desmond Trufant just made a great play on the ball and picked it off and went right to him. Second interception, that's the one that we're talking about where you just don't know where he's going with it.
He threw it to a guy that was sitting down.
Yeah.
That's
was sitting down.
Tough to do.
Grossly underthrown. I mean, he was under.
He tried to contort his arm around the pressure in the pocket, and he tried to go all Magic Man with it, and he just threw it like an ass. Like, I'm convinced it wasn't the ribs there. He tried to twerk his motion around the pressure, and he threw it weird.
Well, yeah. I do agree he threw it weird.
I watched it twice, and he could sense the pressure coming, and he tried to be, you know, super cool Magic Man Wentz instead of just doing the right thing, and it backfired.
Well, yeah, I mean, he got his head knocked off a lot, so he's scrambling for his life, and he's been getting hit left and right in this game. I mean, 10 quarterback hits against this team, mm-hmm. 3 sacks, I mean, you know, 6 tackles for loss. I mean, this defensive line really just came out there and owned this group today. This was a battle of the quarterbacks. You know, because you go back and you look at how many yards they were rushed for. I mean, neither offenses did anything with the run game. So this was a battle of the quarterbacks. Both of them had 43 attempts in the air. 43 passes in the air. You know what the big difference was, though, with those 43 passes? Ryan's average pass time for his 43 passes was 2.2 seconds. Winston's was 3 seconds.
So
you can tell which quarterback was going to get beat up.
Right.
You got an average pass time of 3 seconds. You're holding on to the ball too long. Now, he did have some times where he was getting rid of it. But then, too, there were times where coverage was there. Now, you may say, all right, well, you were missing DeSean Jackson. You were missing Jeffrey. Hey, man, you know what, dude? And in this game, man, it's next man up. You got to seize the opportunity. I think a Whiteside, when you went out there against whoever you played against in the preseason, I can't even remember. I don't even have enough. He balled. Everybody was, oh, my God. Hey, I think a Whiteside, he's the next coming.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be all right. He didn't show it today.
No.
He didn't show it yesterday. Nelly, hey, man, you know what? Got to step up. Right. Here it is.
When it's that bad, okay, when it's 10 quarterback hits, when it is the 3 sacks that you just mentioned,
yeah.
How much of that do you look at the offensive line and go, all right, guys, you gotta hold your blocks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how much, but on the same note, also, how much do you look at it as the wide receiver that Carson Wentz doesn't necessarily have that
chemistry?
Oh, I'm
looking at the offensive line.
Okay.
I'm definitely looking at the offensive line on a lot of this. Because, I mean, you saw the left side getting picked apart with games. I mean, you had delayed TEs coming in. Isaac getting pushed back. I felt like Big Isaac was getting pushed back a lot. JP getting edged a couple times, getting hit. I mean, you know, this is stuff that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all right there on the film. And then the 1 sack, I know it was they were saying that, okay, Lane, what else could Lane do? That was a planned attack on that. You know, this is the same thing that you saw Chris Long create with that sack fumble against the Chargers, where you had somebody send pressure up front, a shallow rush in the front, and then you bring somebody else running the loop. They even talked about it. The announcers even said something about it, like, whoa, you know what? Carson has been, you know, escaping out of the left. So, all right, you bring pressure in his face. You send Beasley to run the long hoop, and there you go. I'm glad it wasn't a sack fumble.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, here you go. I mean, this is all planned. And then you keep getting beat with the same stuff. When you keep getting beat with games, I stop looking at the players.
I'll tell you what. Are the coaches thinking on their feet well enough, Trey?
I don't know. It's thinking on your feet. You got to prepare. This isn't something that you just got to say, hey, we got to make a change. This is something that you prepare all week. Four. I mean, if you start, you have to stop the push. You have to stop the push. And if you're not planning for it, I mean, at some point, I got to stop looking at the players.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest concern is there the consistent awful starts to the games.
Yeah.
That's what you're preparing for. I understand. That's a big part of it, I think.
I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense right now.
Well, because it's the only drastic difference between, we all know. But
first in the NFL to literally last.
So you mean to tell me Frank Reich not being here is the only reason for their awful starts?
I don't want to say the only.
But I mean, like, let's just say
90%. I think it's a big part, yeah.
Would you go 90%?
I'd go 75.
Like, to me, I can't even go that high. Like, if you want to struggle, I got
to
look
at that. They went from first in the NFL in 2017 to first quarter scoring to literally 31st in the league last year. And it looks like they picked right up where they left off again last year.
It's the only
logical conclusion. Yeah, it's the only logical conclusion I can draw. If somebody else can show me why.
Mm-hmm.
Present it, because I don't know.
Look, I find it hard to believe. Like, I don't know if it's just Carson not being able to get out of the gates. I don't know if it's Doug just not having that ready to go. And I know that through the first 10, 15 plays that you would script up, Frank Reich would have a lot to say there. He'd also have a lot to say when it came to the run-pass ratio and all that. Last night, the Eagles were getting nothing on the ground. They were getting nothing on the ground.
I mean, you start off your first couple series, you had 6 plays in your first series, and it was a defensive holding that bailed you out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's a defensive holding that bailed you out. So then now you come in, you try to run an inside zone, that gets you nowhere. Outside zone, that gets you nowhere. And then you come back with that last play, JP gets beat. So then now that, which creates pressure. Then now you come back in the next series, five more plays and you're out. So you're not sustaining any drives. D-Jack is out. So then he throws a pick on that second drive. So, you know, and it was a big hit on him. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so of all these problems, though, right? Like, the Eagles were right there to win this game.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to that, and I don't think that's what anybody wants to hear today, but I did see some of the people on Twitter, people I was talking to after the game, some buddies I was texting with, talking about that famous, you know, that little silver lining, that, well, what about the bright side? And Doug even said after the game, there's no moral victories, but if you can look at a couple of positives to come out of this, the fact that at halftime they were down 4 points.
That was a win.
With a quarterback, that's where I was like, oh my God, they're going to win this.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts. And now, then Corey Clement happened.
See, I didn't have that thought.
You didn't have that thought.
I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. They're down four, but God, they're playing horrible.
It couldn't get worse.
Right? Yeah, but I didn't have that.
Because Corey Clement fumbled.
But I didn't have that feeling of, go, okay, they'll turn it around. That's how bad I thought they were last night. I didn't have that feeling. Two things. The strengths, offensive line, defensive line. When is the defensive line going to get some pressure?
Okay. Well, when you only have an average throw time of 2.2 seconds out of all your throws,
I know.
Need that secondary to give them a chance to create pressure. There was only one pressure, really, that came off of pass rush, and that was from Sweat.
Yeah, Sweat had a nice, he did have a nice game there.
Sweat gave you a nice little rush, maybe got a hand on towards it. But other than that, there wasn't much pressure coming from the defensive front. Now, of course, Ryan didn't give him a lot of time because a lot of his throws were right around 2 seconds. I mean, he only had 13 passes. Out of those 43 passes, he only had 13 passes that went over 2.4 seconds.
Mm. Yeah, so it's like chicken and egg, Trey, right?
So, I mean, when you put those numbers in there like that, I mean, yeah, you can say, hey, man, they went up against a weaker offensive line, but you only had 13 plays that went over 2.4 seconds. I don't care if you get 5 Reggie Whites out there and you only give the quarterback 2-3 seconds, he's going to get rid of the ball. 2.3 seconds, he's going to get rid of the ball.
So that's,
you can't create pressure like that.
That's what's maddening. So we know the way to beat the Eagles. Everybody knows it. We've talked about it for 2 years now. Short passes, get rid of the ball quickly, pick on the secondary.
Eli.
Well, how come nothing's really changing then?
Yeah.
I mean, he tried to blitz a little bit more last night. He tried to bring some pressure.
I thought for Jim Schwartz, it was a lot more.
Oh, yeah. And when Atlanta got the ball with 3 minutes ago, I said, come on, defense, be aggressive. And they got beat being aggressive, and people came at me. But what I meant was, all I could envision was, they get the ball with 3 minutes ago, here comes a 3-minute drive, boom, they score to end the game. I wanted something to change there. But it doesn't seem to be changing. Look,
they shot themselves in the foot many, many times. And it was the one injury they didn't have, was shooting themselves in the foot. But when you look at that game last night, there was that two crucial plays, really. One of them was obviously the Julio Jones touchdown reception where they just got beat on the blitz.
That's a great call by the Falcons there because they knew he was going to blitz.
It was perfect.
It was zero coverage,
well,
exposed.
If I'm not mistaken, Matt Ryan checked down to that play.
I believe it was
Yeah, I think it was an audible. I don't think that was the, well, whatever.
I think I heard Ryan talk about it that he did. Yeah, yeah.
So he checks down to that play.
And great job by him because that was the perfect play call for that defense. But
they didn't lose this game because of injuries. They didn't lose this game because of bad officiating. However, it was a nice little part of it. But here's the deal. The block in the back by Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
Does anybody look at that play today?
Somebody put it on Twitter. I mean, it's obvious.
Nothing there. He's that wide open on that play. That wide open on that play to run for a touchdown, and there's no call made. Now, again, that was just a small little thing. The other thing we'll get into regarding the officiating isn't even about officiating as much as it is the rule change.
It's a dumb
rule. Couple of years ago. It is ridiculous. We even talked about it on Monday last week because it came up in the Saints game. How do you give yourself up when you're diving forward? It's been a rule for a while now. I think 2 years. I think they even said it on the broadcast, 2 years. How is Carson Wentz giving himself up when he is trying to dive for 2 points?
How do you even call that play?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
I had flashbacks to the play where he blew his knee out versus the Rams. I'm not going to lie.
I wrote that in my notes. How is that the play that you go to say, hey, man, you know what? Let's prove to the world that you're good. Let's run the play that blew out your knee.
Yeah. I had this thought last night. We can really just throw out the window any conversation, thought, whatever it might be, of Carson Wentz ever playing a quote-unquote safer style of play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He gives zero you-know-what.
Yep. I compare it to Sugar Ray Leonard back in the day, a guy that was just fast, elusive, jab, jab, hit, hit. Don't go toe-to-toe with somebody. But when Carson Wentz, when that game comes and it's toe-to-toe, he's not backing down.
No.
This is what you're going to get. You're going to have to live with it. It's going to be sore ribs. It's going to be concussion protocol. This is just who he is. He's not going to change.
No.
And last night, he got his ass beat pretty good.
And this is what I appreciate about Carson is that he's not cowering down. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take the hit to try to help my team. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like you taking some of those hits, he just had to take because he had to wait for the receivers to get open so that he could deliver a ball. I mean, on that one play where it was 4th and 18 or whatever, where he threw the big play to Nelly, I mean, you know, he took a big hit on that one. But he had to because it was 4th and forever, so he had to give them a chance to get downfield and then threw the ball. But, I mean, he took hit after hit after hit, and he kept coming back. Now, I feel like he could have slept his ass on the sideline, though, when McCown was driving the ball.
You didn't like him come back in?
No, no. Because McCown comes in, there's a spark. He's creating something.
I said the same thing.
Go ahead and let him finish the drive. That's when it's like you put on your cape. Hey, put me back in. I don't want to see another player score when I'm struggling.
Yeah, it was the best the offense looked in the first half.
That was the best they looked in the first half. Go ahead and let him finish the drive.
No. These quarterbacks are so damn selfish. It's like Foles calling his own play.
I did feel dirty having that thought, but I was like, why bring him in mid-drive there?
It was working.
So for the record, though, because I know that was some people's thought. That's my thought. I agree. Let him finish the drive. Let Carson just get himself.
All right, I'll be the only one that didn't mind Carson coming back in. Okay. Yeah.
Why? So, you come back.
No, I hear you. I know.
And then you put Nelly in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm. We call that a buddy ball. Now you're in the hospital.
So you come back in, and then you get Nelly head taken off.
All right, so real quick, but back to McCown. If McCown scores...
6-1-0, 6-3-2.
I'm only bringing this up for the simple reason that people will. McCown was the guy who should have stayed in the game. No, okay. I just want to make sure this is clear.
Yeah.
Even if McCown puts the ball in the end zone, Carson Wentz is starting for me in the second half.
Absolutely.
I just want to get that out of the way.
Exclusive to that drive alone.
Thank you. I'm just saying, in that drive right there. Going into the what was going on, and you could see that the spot, it was working.
Yes.
He was getting rid of the ball. There was a certain type of energy when he stepped onto the field.
They're a better team with backup quarterbacks.
No, I'm not saying that. But it's just he started working it a little bit.
It made no sense for when you had some momentum for the first time all game on your offense to take out the quarterback that was making it click.
I don't know. I disagree only because if somebody's going to make a play for you, like Wentz did in the fourth quarter, all the plays that he made, I'm going to put my eggs in his basket rather than McCown's basket.
I understand. That basket had 6 points worth of a passer rating.
Yeah, I hear you.
He ended up kicking a field goal anyway.
You wound up getting down there because of him. But, God, if I'm going to have somebody in there to make a play on a low-scoring game that might be a touchdown that turns the tide, I got to go with Carson Wentz. I got to.
Yeah, I get that, but... we all watched it. There was just nothing clicking. And you could talk about the lack of timing, the lack of cohesion when it came to him and his targets, the fact that Alshon wasn't there, and the fact that DeSean Jackson wasn't there. But then you're starting to talk about the twos and the threes and the fours in terms of guys that are your receiving core, right? They're not the first stringers.
Yeah.
And who's McCown been working with? The second and third and fourth stringers. So there was a little bit of a reason why there was a little bit of a kick there. But to me, just as long as everybody knows when I say this and when we say this, Carson Wentz starts no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
Even if there was some kind of bonkers, like, onside kick that the Eagles got, they scored 2 touchdowns in that half. No, I'm still saying that Carson Wentz starts that second half. There, it just seemed extremely odd to me that they didn't have... I don't know. They didn't rely on their backup to just make a play or two more, especially when your number one guy was going through concussion protocol.
All right. We also know what Doug is. All right. He's the guy that all the players love the intelligence, the emotional intelligence. Carson comes to him on the sideline and says, I'm ready, Doug. I'm good. And has his helmet on. And there's all players around. He goes, no, hold on a second. How's that going to play out?
Yeah, no, it's going to look terrible.
It plays out okay. Hey, you know what? We got something going right now. Hold on.
I hear you.
You only got 2 more plays.
But that's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, ooh, if he tells Carson no, hold on
I mean, you just took a big hit. Because that's what sent him into concussion protocol. It was that little delayed TE where, you know, you got an end coming around bearing down on him. He took a big hit. So, you know, hey, whoa, calm down. You know, hey, we got something rolling right now.
Hey, Doc, just check him out again real quick. Make sure he's all right.
I think he got his helmet is on a little sideways.
Just check him again.
Because he had a hat on anyway. Chill out a little bit. We got something going right now.
I had a conspiracy theory last night.
Ooh.
So Carson was upset, and we'll play the cut for you a little bit later about Carson saying, hey, took a really long time to go through that concussion protocol. was Doug saying, hey, take your time with this one. McCown's got to go.
Oh, jeez.
So he tried to delay it?
Yeah. Was like Doug like tackling the doctor that was going to like look at
him? He might have a button on his belt where he like, where he's buzzing him like, hey.
Check it again. Check it again.
Check it again. Check it again. Give him four more fingers. Ask him if he's Batman.
Like, I can't remember the guy's name. Ask him if he looks like a Cheeto, as Jamie's relative
said. Ask him to spell Mississippi two times and make him spell it backwards.
Spell Schuylkill. Because I can't do it, and I've been here 38 years.
But who was the guy Chuck Mandarich sat on at the end of the game in the 1960 championship?
Jim Taylor.
Thank you. That's what Doug Peterson was doing to the doctor. Hey, before you review him, before you go, give him concussion protocol. Just let me sit on you for a second as McCown punches this one in. No, damn it. Carson, get in there. 610-632-0975. Eric in Central Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, brother?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
I don't even know what to think after that game as far as my feelings. I mean, I don't never want to use the injuries as excuse and stuff like that. I'm not gonna. The thing that I got out of the game watching it is if you're going to play that type of defense, and I love what they do with Malcolm Jenkins and move him around, get him on the line, everything, but if you're going to play that type of defense, Howie should not be on a plane back to Philly right now. He should be on his way to Miami, and Minka Fitzpatrick needs to be here.
Get him! Make it happen!
Wait, what?
Yep. Minka Fitzpatrick. He's the guy that people are climbing for.
Not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm sorry, Eric. Yeah, I saw the notes here. I thought you meant Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, God, no.
Sure, get him, too. What the hell?
I heard that in their response.
Gotcha.
I mean, Darby, the numbers against him yesterday and getting beat, and he should have got beat even two more deep touchdowns
that were
off the receiver's hands. I mean, he just did not. If you're going to play that and have that coverage back, McLeod's not really a cover guy. He's a hitter, too. We don't have that safety back there to give the help if Jenkins is going to be up at the line.
Mm-hmm. Eric, thanks for the call, man. We're all with you there. And we're going to talk about Darby in a second because he was blown up last night.
Oh, yeah.
And did you happen to hear him with Derek Gunn after the game?
No, I did not.
Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Jamie, I know you were doing post game last night, right? So I also want to get what the people were saying after the game, immediately after, instant reactions, mm-hmm. right? I was watching post game, and Ronald Darby nestled up next to Derek Gunn,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little hint of a. in one of his responses,
I could only watch him. I wasn't listening as it was live.
Yeah,
it looked a little too happy for my liking.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm in no way saying that that's like D Gunn's fault. That's like Ronald Darby just being like, ah, it's like, no, there's nothing happy about this. Ronald Darby got picked on last night and he knew it. We'll hear from Ronald Darby coming up in a few as courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Derek Gunn catching up with him after the game. You'll hear Ronald Darby cut in a few. 610-632-0975. Wide open lines for you if you want to jump in. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 6:22.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I know that a lot of people want to pile on Ronald Darby today and Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz, and a lot of that, rightfully so. I hate a couple of things. One, I hate when people look at a interception deep down the field on third down and they say, that's like a punt.
You hate that, huh?
I hate that.
Okay.
Because
but it was.
No, punt, you're willingly giving the ball away.
It was a pretty good punt.
Yeah.
Took him down.
Got him down
the
line.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Soft! I call that soft!
Also got his ribs hurt on the play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it was just like a punt where your quarterback gets hurt. That's fun.
Yeah.
Good
just
times.
Like that punt.
I hate that silver lining. I hate that, oh, well, there's a bright side to this. No, they were trying to make a play. And I get, oh, well, the field position is kind of like a punt. No, on a punt, you're willingly giving the ball away. So I still despise that. As much as I love in sports, like in baseball, a pitcher helping his own cause, I love that phrase. I hate, oh, well, it's like a punt. Okay, all right. But the other thing.
You're angry today, man.
I just hate that expression. It's like one of those things that just really grinds my gears.
No, I hear you.
And I saw that all, oh, like my timeline was like 10 people.
Yeah, I was one of them. You want to fight?
Were you one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate you. I hate you now. thanks for all the baby advice, but I hate you. But I hate that. I think it's just a soft expression. It's like, oh, well, here's the positive out of all that. But the other thing is.
Well, he could have gotten sacked and not thrown the ball away, and then you're at the 45.
And then you actually punt?
Well, no, it was fourth down, I believe, wasn't it?
No, that was no, third and eight.
There was a lot of fourth downs last night. I'm getting mixed up here.
They're getting all messed up. Plus, you slept on an air mattress here at the studio last night. But the other thing was watching your defensive backs get burned time and time again. And Ronald Darby finally picks one off. And then it was, oh, he made up for it. No, I'm still not making up for it.
No.
He got lucky on the three previous balls that he got beat on when he finally made that interception, before he made that interception. Calvin Ridley should have had at least two touchdown receptions over him last night. Now, a couple of them were on the same drive.
Mm-hmm.
So one would have canceled out the other, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But that's still an example of you getting beat bad down the line.
What happened to this speed that he was supposed to possess? He was supposed to be a 4.3 guy. He's going against a bunch of guys that are like 4.5, 4.6 guys, and he's not catching them.
Well, I mean, coming off a pretty major knee injury, I guess you give him the benefit of the doubt there.
Well, then get him off the field.
I hear you.
All right, so he
does Sendejo know what he's doing there playing center field?
No.
Okay.
But when he blitzes, yeah, that's party.
First career sack.
How about that? now, here's the other thing. So Darby gets an interception. That was great. But we saw him targeted time and time again. No better example than what, the Calvin Ridley interception or touchdown. Then the Julio Jones, I believe it was the first touchdown of the game for Julio Jones. So you're watching all that unfold and you're just going, well, this is just not going to be his night. And Ronald Darby knew, I guess it was, I don't know, Trey, what would it be? The fifth time he was targeted that they knew that they were going to go after him. Ronald Darby last night, listen to this, there's a little aha in here. Ronald Darby with Derek Gunn on NBC Sports Philadelphia last night after the game.
I mean, you'd never be surprised, you know, at the end of the day, it's the NFL, so, you know, that many times deep, yeah, like, you're crazy, but like, at the end of the day, I just gotta keep pushing. Whether I give up one, or one overthrown, or I make a play on one, it always happens, so you just gotta keep pushing. I have a short memory out of this position.
All right, I admire the end there, but in the middle, when there's that little aha. Was something, did I miss something?
No.
Was there something funny?
No.
Was there something funny?
Maybe to him.
I don't remember anything funny being said in that.
Maybe he thinks it's funny.
Nothing's funny. There's nothing funny there. Not even a little bit. Especially when you're watching him time and time again get beat on the field.
Maybe he really did forget what happened to him. That's the only explanation you can have.
Now, you do have to have a short memory in this game.
Yeah, especially at that position, right?
At any position.
Yeah.
So people are pissed at Ronald Darby, and rightfully so. The other person that people are pissed at is Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz had a bad game. First off, you saw Carson Wentz kind of zone in on him once he realized that all his other guys were out. So that was unfortunate. But he was still one of the best players on the field for you. So you kind of get Carson trusting his most trusted target that was still around in Zach Ertz. But then at the end of the game, not only was he just not breaking tackles like you want to see him do eventually and still hasn't done throughout his career, but he doesn't even know where to be on the field at that time, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even know where to be on the field at the end of that game. There was a huge pocket there for him to be able to just take that one extra step, and he would have had that first down. I'm not talking about after the catch. I'm talking about before the catch. Now, he had a little bit of a comeback there. What was it? A little bit of a hitch. He just turned around, tried to get the ball, came back to it a little too much. He would have had it if he just took that extra step past the sticks, and he didn't do it. But at least Zach Ertz, I get a little remorse from him after the game. Take a listen.
Yeah, I had a route, 10-yard route. Came back to the ball. I should have ran a little deeper. Just knowing the situation. Really disappointed in myself. Obviously, the team counts on me to make the play on fourth down. I had plenty of time. Just came up a little short. So I'm an emotional player. Feel like I kind of let the team down at the end. Tried my best, and we're so close. It's going to hurt for a while. I'll be better.
Now, that was after the Nelson Agholor drop, and it was after the Nelson Agholor first down reception that gave us all life on that fourth down. I couldn't believe what the heck happened on that play.
Yeah.
But it all builds up to that moment where Zach Ertz has to make that play on fourth down. and your Pro Bowler, one of the best in the game, one of the best tight ends in the game, can't make that simple play.
It's not the first time he's done this.
No, that's it's
this
been
is
his
something
MO.
That repeats itself over and over again with him. And if you're no Yak Zach, like we all know, you have to make a point to run 11 yards. It's pretty simple.
It's beyond frustrating when you know that a guy is that talented, just doesn't. It's not that he doesn't know where to be on the field. It's just that he made the wrong play.
He just did what he was programmed to do. This was a, when you're running this play in practice, he knows how many steps he has to take. He knows where his landmark is, and that's what he did. He did not think to say, you know what, let me go a little bit further. He just ran what he usually did in practice.
Mm. All right, well, Sean in Willow Grove has something on Zach Ertz. What's up, Sean?
How you doing? I just want to say you guys are doing a great job on the morning show. I couldn't agree more with Zach, about Zach Ertz. He is a complete disaster. He's the most overrated player on the Eagles team. He has never broken a tackle in his entire career. I don't understand why they keep him around. And then, can I make one more point?
Sure. Go ahead.
When he got hit in the ribs and then went down, and then they had a waste of time out. I mean, get your ass up and get off the field. How hard is that? It's not like you tore your Achilles tendon.
Trey, I'll let you take a rip shot on here. I'll let you respond to it. Get hit in the ribs.
Sometimes when you're not able to breathe, it might be a little hard to move.
Might be a little bit hard.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sean, I'm just going to say. Yeah, I understand. I'm going to go ahead. I don't think he is overrated. I think the point that you made about him not being able to get those yards after the catch, not being able to break a tackle, very valid. But as far as anything where we get Zach Ertz out of town, I'm not going to go there with
you. Yeah, no.
But thank you for the kind words to start it off.
At the position. I think Dallas Goedert's a playmaker at the position.
Well, if he was around, maybe he could have made a couple of plays. Know, you're calling him soft. This guy, you're talking about Dallas Goedert got injured during warm-ups.
Right, yeah. No, you're right.
Sean, thanks for the kind words, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, with you as well. All right. Now, we're going to need all the time we can possibly have for this one because I think this is going to be... This is going to be an argument here. Nelson Agholor and so, why he dropped that football.
Tim McManus joined us last night postgame.
Okay.
And they said as soon as reporters entered the locker room, I do want to just give him a little a little tip of the cap for being an upstanding man in this situation. As soon as all the reporters walked in, he pointed at them and said, let's get this over with.
Who did that?
Agholor.
Agholor did it. Okay.
He said, I know you guys are going to want to talk to me. Let's go.
I don't know if it was because it was a road game, but it seemed like the reporters were in. And I've been there on Sunday nights trying to get into the locker room, and it seems like you got to wait a little bit. It seemed like as soon as the game was over, I was seeing quotes from guys.
Yeah, it was pretty quick last night.
The flight was ready to go, I guess.
Maybe Doug didn't have a lot to say afterwards.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot to say.
They had a mic issue with Doug after the game.
A mic issue?
They had a mic issue. The microphone wasn't working.
Oh, no.
In Atlanta.
Huh.
Damn, all that money for that stadium. Missed a spot, fellas. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
All right, so let the Aguilar bashing commence.
Yeah, okay. So after this, we go after Nelson Agholor. Because we're going to play the sound for you of him after the game. I think we also have the play-by-play from Al Michaels. We'll get that to you coming up in a few. And why Nelson Agholor dropped the ball. We'll literally drop the ball. We'll break that down for you coming up in a
literally?
Few. Literally drop the ball. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 641.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So, a minute 58. Philadelphia with a second down and two. And the outside goes, and he dropped it. Agholor down the sideline, got three. Could have been a big, big game. Dropped it.
Play snapped at 1:58. Nelson Agholor dropped it at 1:53, around the 30-yard line. Figure, I don't know, he's in the end zone by 1:50, whatever it might have been. bottom line is they should have at least gone ahead. Now, I will say Falcons had all three of their timeouts left, but let's go back and think about Matt Ryan towards the end of games against the Eagles. Has he done well in recent history?
Nope.
No. No. So I'm telling you, it would have been the game winner.
Yes, it would have.
Should have been the game winner.
Yep.
We all know it could have been the game winner.
Could have been.
Now, let us split hairs here, which is something as a bald man I know I should never say. However,
yeah, we don't have a lot of hairs to split among the four of us.
But let's just look at this. Why'd he drop that ball?
Because he short-armed it.
He definitely short-armed it. But is that the same thing as alligator arming it?
Yes.
Because I just think he choked.
Trey, he heard footsteps.
I think he heard footsteps. I think he looked over there and he saw that safety coming. He was like, oh, I don't want to take this hit on the sideline.
I saw Nelson Agholor from the Seattle game, what, three years ago. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's who I saw in that play.
And you know what? I heard y'all earlier and you said that losing it in the lights reminded you of who?
Todd Pinkston.
Todd Pinkston.
And what did he do?
He doubled down on that play because it was an alligator arms and I lost it in the lights. It was the Pinkston special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the greatest calls ever in history with Joe Theismann saying, you've heard of alligator arms, that's alligator body.
Yeah.
When he said that about Todd Pinkston. I can't go scared alligator arms, Ricky Waters, if you will. I can't go there with Nelson Agholor on this play. I just think Nelson Agholor choked. I think the play was there to be made, and he choked in a huge moment.
I think after all of the big catches that he made in that game, why would he right there? I think it was more of taking that hit on the sideline. And it just because you're going to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Human nature, no matter what, at some point, that you're going to try to protect yourself. And I think that was one of the situations. He was going down that sideline, and he saw that safety bearing down on him, full tilt. Even though he would have been all right.
Yeah.
But it was just...
He was already half a step past
But still, you look and you see that safety, and if you extend, all you feel right now is all of this, all your inside of your ribs just getting crushed, and you're like, oh, damn, I dropped it.
Would you be willing to say he was distracted by the safety, but not necessarily scared by the safety?
Yeah, I'm going to go scared by the safety. I'm not changing it.
I mean, he got blown up earlier. It's fair to think it's in his head.
Yeah, but he's already taking a couple big hits.
Yeah, but on his touchdown reception, he ran across the middle.
Yeah.
In the end zone.
But this wasn't across the middle. That was just right down the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
You about to get knocked all into the cameraman. You might, whatever else is on the side there.
But I'm just saying, for the argument of, like Jamie just mentioned there, with, getting rocked again, he went across the middle, got touchdown reception in the end zone. And Carson, by the way, Carson let him run a couple of steps wide open. And I'm like, does he see him? I see him. Does Carson see him? And then he finally saw him. But Nelson Agholor tries to explain to us after the game. And as Jamie mentioned, to his credit, he was at his locker saying, hey, come on over.
Let's get this over
with. And that's when he addressed the media, and here's what Nelson Agholor said about dropping the ball.
Yeah, but I still got to make that play. You know, it's something that, you know, we prepared for in pregame. We were trying to track it in the light, make sure we knew how to track it. And, you know, I got to find a way to catch it all. You know, remember where it's going to be and then just, you know, look it all the way in.
Now, most people, I would look at this and say, well, who the hell cares why you dropped it? But the fact is that you dropped it. But when it's Nelson Agholor, a guy who in the past, as Jamie referenced a second ago, like 3 years ago, was talking about how he was thinking too much.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down that alley again with him.
And Jamie tweeted it last night right afterwards. Uh-oh, is he getting, I forget your exact phrasing, but yips. Something like, is he getting the yips again? Yeah.
He shoved that tweet down my throat like three plays later.
On that play, if you know, he's open, he's running, and then he does a little even extra sprint almost because he wanted to have his hands close to his body to catch the ball. If you watch it real closely. So, Trey, I think part of it, although, yeah, I don't think the defender had a real good beat on him that he would have taken that awful hit. But it does look like he on purpose puts his body in a position where he doesn't have to really reach his hands out, where he just has them close in.
Yeah,
maybe it's a protection. Yeah, it could be.
He had already taken some big hits. He was like, damn that.
Business decision
right now.
I just look at that play, and when I watched it, my first reaction, it was not, oh, he sees the safety, because Keanu Neal was, like I said, a half a step or maybe even a step behind him. He had him beat. Neal was still coming over. I don't think had the angle on him. And Agholor just flat out. If I had to say why he dropped it, my first thought was he choked.
Mm-mm. I just thought he missed it. Yeah, I just thought.
I think he was feeling all that. All of these right here.
All these ribs.
What's your L? I don't even know. How do you number
them?
So like L321, whatever.
Something like that. Yeah.
Taken out.
Not broken 1, 2, and 3
yeah,
and
yeah.
4 for Nelson Agholor. Mm-hmm. But I give him credit for this. And I'm one of the people that tweeted out the gif of his drop, and it was terrible. I acknowledge the great play he made later. However, still, should have at least put the Eagles in front and left it up to the defense to decide the rest of the way. And as I mentioned a second ago, Matt Ryan doesn't have the greatest track record in the closing seconds of a game against the Eagles.
Man, so he tried to give you that game so bad.
He really did.
Yeah, he did.
Shoo.
I mean, I would have been 9-1 for the day.
Oh, well, still a pretty good day.
Oh, you threw a parlay.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had a couple parlays. You know,
there you go.
Prop bets, but I mean.
Did you bet Temple? They won.
Yeah, I did.
Temple.
He
Maryland?
Has, yeah.
Not a fella.
Yeah.
Hey, Trey. You're welcome.
Temple's got a good defense.
On behalf of all of Temple University, you're welcome.
Man, I mean, to have two goal line stops like that,
yeah, man.
Temple ball.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But Nelson Agholor not only just stood at his locker and answered those questions, Nelson Agholor sent out a tweet. This was at 12:44 last night.
So about roughly an hour after the game.
Roughly an hour after the game. Nelson Agholor put out on Twitter, "I left plays out there that I know I could have made and will make going forward. Tough loss. That hurts a lot because I know how hard we played. I will be better. As a team, we will be better moving forward." Mm-hmm. Man owned it. You got to give him credit for that. Respect.
What else can you do?
You can hide. And you could just do what Todd Pinkston did, which was, I lost it in the lights.
Well, he did. He said he lost it in the lights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sean Taylor. That was a play that was across the middle. Sean Taylor was going to take his head off.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are going to get. Well, Nelly was, he was good. He wasn't going to take a hit. But I think we're looking at it on TV and we're like, oh, yeah, you got plenty of time. But, you know, sometimes when you're out there on the field,
things
I just
see
a little closer than you. I just seen a little closer than they would. It's not, man. I mean, and he was like, oh, no.
That right there is. Yeah. That right there is a great point.
This R, 2, 3, 4, all that's about to get crushed.
And Trey makes a fine point. Ray in Massachusetts. What's up, Ray?
Good morning, fellas. Yep. I want to say good morning, but it's not a good morning. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you're running up the sideline. He had the corner beat, and his safety was nowhere near him, and he drops the ball. How do you do that? Please help me out. Please help me out.
Well, I think Trey just helped you out big time, and I think it's the rear view mirror effect. It's the side view mirror effect. Objects here might appear closer than they are.
Yeah.
And you know what? Oh, Trey, I got to say to you, brother, good work in the church. We could have used you last night, brother. Carson Wentz was getting hammered.
Yeah.
But like I'm saying, and he basically left 12 points on the field. Going into the halftime, Carson Wentz, it was a little high, but the ball hit his hands. You got to make that catch.
Man, he got his head taken off on that
play. That was a tough one there.
He got his head taken off on that one.
Yeah, it did sell a little bit, but oh my goodness, the sideline.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.